Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Sermon notes are being delivered to you. So two verses we are going to read today for today's meditation. One is from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And another is from Acts chapter 27, verse 29. First, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Let us read this particular verse all together, please. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Let us also turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 27, verse 29. Acts chapter 27, verse 29. Altogether, please. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. So especially I want to pay our attention to one particular sentence is they cast four anchors out of the stern. Okay, let us close our eyes. Let us look unto God for his help. Loving Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, your love is great and your love has a great height and depth. What a wonderful God you are. Today, we worship you from the bottom of our heart by understanding about you. Yes, Lord, you are great. Your love is great. We thank you for that. As we are going to meditate upon your word, please be with us, guide us, and lead us, O Lord, Heavenly Father. As we are going to examine in the light of the word, please search our heart and show to us wherever we are lacking behind. Please be with us and guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So my dears, so last time we have started this particular verse for our meditation. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And we have taken several warnings. Whatever we see on our daily lives, and based on our warnings, and we have related to the Word of God, and then we have learned so many lessons. So the first part we have learned about warnings. God gives warnings everywhere. When we are on the road, there is a warning. So warning if the road is end. And warning if there is only right or left. And warning if the road is merging. And not only on the roads, but also in our office, and there are so many emergency procedures. And not only in that, but also when it compared to natural calamities, warning about cyclones, warning about tsunamis, and so many things, so many warnings are there. And even Bible also filled with so many warnings. So we have meditated so wonderfully last time. And now, today, we are going to see how we can save ourselves in the times of drifting. So first of all, if you consider the meaning of drifting, drifting is basically a small change that happens to our lives because of some incidents. It's a small change. You know, have you heard the meaning, the word called subtle? SUBTLE. It's a small change only, but there is a big impact. So that is the meaning of subtle. So such kind of things may happen in our life because of drifting. Those changes that are drifting may start initially in a small amount, but if we don't pay attention to it, it will become bigger. And by the time we realize that we have drifted away, we have turned away from God, and then it is too late. So that's why we need to rely upon our God. And now, for today's portion, we are going to meditate mostly from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27. So wonderfully, it talks about Paul's final missionary journey to Rome. So three things that we can learn from today, but we're not meditating upon those three things. But, you know, in order to remember the chapter, I'm giving these three points. So the first point is, Paul sails to Rome. Paul met with a storm. And there was a shipwreck that happened. Sail, storm, shipwreck. Easy to remember. Okay? So, if you consider Paul, he's a wonderful person. And his missionary journey, if you consider, is so amazing. He has done three missionary journeys, right? And fourth one is, so basically it's a journey to the Rome. In all these first three missionary journeys, he has started from Jerusalem. He went to different countries, and then he came back to Jerusalem. He reported. But the fourth one, he went to Jerusalem or there. Okay? So the first missionary journey, if you consider, he traveled 1,581 miles. Second missionary journey, he traveled 3,050 miles. Third missionary journey, he traveled 3,307 miles. And finally, to Rome, he traveled 2,344 miles. Why I'm telling all these things are, you know, these things are amazing. And nowadays, after Wright brothers have invented aeroplane, it is easy for us to travel hundreds of miles or even thousands of miles. So imagine, the first century, there was no train, there was no aeroplane, there was no sophisticated travel things, but still, he journeyed these many thousands of miles. He dedicated his life to travel and to proclaim the word of God. Praise God, for God has used him mightily for his glory. And now, if you come to our main portion, Acts chapter 27, verse 29. It says, let us read these words together. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of stern and wished for the day. Observe carefully. Okay? First of all, they cast four anchors. Why did they cast four anchors? What was the reason? The reason was that, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks. And as I told you that, you know, they were sailing towards Rome, and then they encountered a storm, and because of the storm, the ship was going left and right, drifting away, you know, from his original direction. They were not knowing where they were going. At that time, they're about to hit rocks. And then, what did they do? They cast four anchors. They cast four anchors. So, what was the reason why they did cast four anchors? What was the reason? Because of rocks. I mean, the main reason is that the ship will not go away and hit the rocks. Right? So, ship was out of control. And when the ship was out of control, they cast four anchors so that they were out of danger. But ultimately, my dears, if you read the whole story, was the shipwreck happened or not? Yes. If you read the whole story, even though they cast anchors, shipwreck has happened. But ultimately, they saved their lives. Even though they casted four physical anchors, finally, the shipwreck happened. The point I want to bring here is that there was a godly person called Paul who casted four spiritual anchors, and those four spiritual anchors saved all the people's life. That's the main message I wanted to bring it here. It's not about the physical anchors that saved their life, but it is a spiritual, four spiritual anchors that saved Paul's life. Okay? So the first point that I wanted to bring to your attention is the strong anchor of presence of God. Okay, let us read 23rd verse. 23rd verse. So what does it say? Please read it, sister. Thank you, sister. So it says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve." So there was an angel's presence. Okay? So first of all, the first anchor is that he felt the presence of angel of God and he accepted faithfully. And whatever the message that the angel of God brought unto him, he listened carefully and he obeyed it. Who sent that particular message? It's not angel, right? It's God. Angels are just, they bring the message from the Lord. Who actually gave the message? God. God only gave the message through angel to Paul, and he believed in it. He believed in it. Wonderful, my dears. So, first point that we need to understand is you can fill up the fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. When we are in disaster, the first and foremost thing that you and I need to do is what? Fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. There was a godly person named Tony Campalo. And when he was a boy, when he was in the first grade, his mother used to drop him, but in the return, he asked the neighbor girl, who is a little bigger than him, and said that, "Can you please bring my son while he's returning from the school?" Then she also said that, "For this, I'm going to give you 5 cents. Every day, whenever she brings his son, so she used to give 5 cents. And now, one year she brought that small child. And after 1 year of his life, when he entered into second grade, so he felt that he became bigger. Then he went to his mom, said that, "Mom, why are you wasting money? So you are giving daily 5 cents to that girl. So instead, don't ask that girl, I become bigger. And then I can come by myself. Instead, give me only 5 cents every week so that you can save 20 cents every week." And then initially her mother said that, no, I'm not going to let this happen. You know, someone will take you away. So there are so many distractions. We are living in a city, in a downtown. So, you know, I don't want to do that. But he begged. And then mother said that, you can come by yourself. Then he started coming by himself. So after 2 years passed away in a family gathering, he said that, look, I am coming by myself from the school, even though in this, this is a downtown, I became bigger. So he was probably was telling to all his relatives. And now the mother asked the question. So she said that, did you really think that you are alone? Whenever you come out of school? No. When you go to the school, and I was watching you, and even when you have started from your home, I was watching you. Wherever you go, I was watching. Whatever the road you are going, I was watching. That's why nothing had happened. Then boy was shocked, actually. Boy did not know that his mother was watching him throughout, you know, the journey to his school and back and forth. My dears, God is like that in our lives. Sometimes we don't accept the presence of the Lord. But what God is saying is that I am always with you wherever you go. Lo, I am with you throughout the end of this world. Jesus Christ said these words. Yes, Jesus is with us. God is with us. Holy Spirit, God is with us. Wherever we go, He has been with us. So the book of Hebrews, it says that, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that is our God. Now, first of all, we need to feel the presence of God. So whenever we have any problem, any disaster, any storms in our life, first and foremost anchor that we need to cast out is the fellowship with the presence of the Lord. And we need to understand the presence of God in our lives. And if you read this particular 27th chapter of Acts, all the people were fearing and walking and running and throwing the stuff outside of the ship to ease the ship. But only one person was calm, and who was Paul? The reason was that he was having a fellowship with the Lord at that time. And that's why he said that, even in the 22nd verse, he said that of Acts chapter 27, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Why he said be of good cheer? The reason was that he was having a fellowship with the Lord. And God gave him assurance. That's why he was very calm. So first and foremost thing in our storm life is to cast out this particular anchor, which is a fellowship with God. Second thing is fellowship with believers. Fellowship with believers. So who was Paul? Paul was a believer, right? Paul was a believer. And Luke was recording all those things. And Luke also got fear. Luke was having a fellowship with Paul. And Paul said, 22nd verse and 25th verse, he said that, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. So he said that, and now I exalt you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And 25th verse also. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So God came to me, and he told me that be of good cheer. Bayapadakamu, dhairyamu techukunadi. Okay? So, Now, in the 36th verse, what happened was that? 36th verse, please read it. Then were they all of good cheer. Appudu andaru dhairyamu techukoni. So when Paul encouraged, and at least a few of them believed initially, but later on, so many people believed in, that's why they got up, and it says that they all of good cheer, and they had some food to eat. It's always good to have a fellowship with the believers. And even Bible is also very, very clear from the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It's a familiar verse. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. How many things were there? Four. The apostles of doctrine, as well as fellowship, breaking of bread, the way in which we meet every Sunday, you know, for the word, as well as for the fellowship, as well as the breaking of the bread. And we need to be part of this one every Sunday. So it is biblical. And not only that, prayers. So all the believers used to gather together. They used to spend time for all these four things. I mean, basically, in a way, that these are four anchors for our spiritual life. If you follow these four anchors, our four legs of spiritual life, then our spiritual life be flourishing. Okay? And fellowship with believers, also very important. In the storms of our life, the way in which Paul has encouraged other believers as well as other people, if we also have fellowship with all of our believers in Christ Jesus, then definitely during those times, we get an encouragement. So first of all, we need to have a fellowship with God, and we need to have fellowship with people. So the way in which Paul encouraged all the believers that be of good cheer. So you may get encouragement from your fellow brothers and sisters also. You should be a source of encouragement to other people, but you should not be a source of discouragement to other people. That is very important, my dears. Again, I wanted to repeat. So you should be the source of encouragement to other people, but you should not be a source of discouragement to other people. Even if you don't like another person, don't discourage, but instead you encourage. But all in these verses, Acts chapter 27, and people got discouraged. You know, Paul at one time told them, hey, I already told you to take another route, but you took this another route. You know, he said only one time. But after that, he started encouraging that be of good cheer. It's okay. Whatever has happened, it's happened. Be of good cheer. Follow what Lord is saying. Believe in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So that, you know, no one will die from this ship. And even in this, one of the particular verse says that even the small hair will not lose. That's what he said in this particular verse. So what a wonderful trust that Paul was having. That's why it's always, important to have a fellowship with other believers during these storm times. Sometimes whenever the storm happens in our life, we don't come outside. We don't have a fellowship with the Lord. We don't come to church. We don't come to Bible studies. We just sit in the at home, and we don't want to have fellowship with anyone because we are in distress. That is not right. So you need to have a fellowship with the believers so that you get encouragement. So that is the second thing, fellowship with believers. Third thing is fellowship in Christian service. Third thing is fellowship in Christian service. Whenever we do the work of the Lord, we always, you know, it's always better to do it together. Okay? So whether you are running a church or whether you are doing a ministry or whether you are doing anything. Yes, sometimes we may go alone, but it's always better to do it together so that together we can face Satan. Okay, so it is very important. Galatians 2:9. Galatians 2:9. What does it say? Yeah, here so wonderfully, they did not say that only you know, a person. See, if you observe this, James, Cephas, John, who seemed to be pillars. They were together. They were doing the service together. Perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me, Barnabas, the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So they have divided the work, but they were going together. So it's always good to tie up together and do the work of the Lord. Even Philippians, so we have been meditating on Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. Yeah, for your fellowship in the gospel. Paul did not, do it alone. So he was having companion, wherever he goes. So he was having a fellowship with other people. And he was spreading the gospel. And it is very important, my dears, during this time. So as we are having a fellowship with the other godly person, whenever we do the service of the Lord, we can pray together. We can encourage. Together. So it's always do the work together. Okay, so what was the first anchor? So the anchor of presence. So presence of our fellowship with God, fellowship with believers, fellowship in Christian service. Okay, the second thing is, let's go back to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. 24 and 25, please read this. Acts chapter 27, 24 and 25. It is wonderful. So what can we observe here? Promise of God to Paul and to everyone. Promise. The second thing is that the strong anchor of promises of God. So we can fill it up. Strong anchor of promises of God. So we need to remember the promises during these storm times in our lives. Paul remembered and he believed in it. The most important thing is that you need to believe and you need to act upon it. Even though we have so many promises in the Bible, if you treat that, this particular promise is not belong to me, then it's not useful. Then you need to claim the promise. So many promises we have in the book of Bible. And you have been attending church and you have been meditating by yourself on the word of God. You might have gone through so many promises. You need to keep those promises in your heart. Whenever you keep those promises in your heart, God always reminds you that, my dear son, my dear daughter, take this promise. I'm going to give it to you during this storm time so that I will help you to come out of it. In Acts chapter 27, there were so many instances that people were feared. First of all, people might thought that, hey, why are we in this particular ship? More than 260 plus people, 267, I believe, if I'm not incorrect. So many people were there. So everybody must be thinking that why we have ended up in this particular ship. Even in our lives also, we might be thinking that why we are in that particular situation. Why should someone else? Why me only? In order to answer that, I wanted to turn to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. So quickly, I wanted to meditate the whole psalm at the high level. So there are two kinds of people. One is wicked, one is righteous people in this particular psalm. So throughout this psalm, it describes about what is going to happen to the wicked people and what is going to happen to the righteous people. Okay? So the word wicked is repeated 14 times out of 40 verses. And the word evildoers is repeated twice. And the word workers of iniquity is repeated once. So basically, all these three categories of people are one. Wicked people. Whether it is a wicked or evildoers or workers of iniquity. Second category of people are righteous or upright. This particular word is repeated 12 times. The second thing is that good people or do good kind of thing repeated thrice. And then wait is repeated thrice. So based on this particular background, I want to bring 3 points to your attention. 3 points. So you need to remember these 3 points. It's very easy. Okay? First thing is do good. Do good. So this particular verse can be found from verse 3. So please read this. Psalm chapter 37, verse 3. Yehovah endu nammike yunchi melu cheyumu. So it says that trust in the Lord and do good. So first fill up the point, do good. Do good. So that is the first point. So in your storm, you should never ever forget to do good. So that is my main point that I want to bring here. So sometimes whenever we are in storm, we may tend to do false things, tend to lie or doing such kind of things, you know. But the Bible says that do good all the times, irrespective of any situation that happens to your life, you always need to do good. So in the 23rd verse, it wonderfully says that the steps of a good man are ordered by whom? The Lord, and he delights in his way. And what does it say? 27th verse. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. You will dwell evermore if you do good. You always need to do good. In those storm times, you should never give up. Wonderfully, it says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and we delight in it. Wonderful, my dears. The steps of a good man are ordered. So even if we are going left or right in those times, even our heart is in fear or going somewhere else, and even if we are drifting away, but if we do good, our steps will be ordered by the Lord. What a wonderful thing. He will order, he will make sure that we go in the right direction if we do good. If we don't do good, we will be in wicked category. So there are so many things it talks about wicked. As I told you that 14 times it repeated the word wicked. So how the wicked people are, and what is the result to those wicked. And those wicked people are like a grass, you know, that's what it says in one of the thing. And then they will be washed away. That's what it says. But if we do good, we will not be washed away. God is going to establish us. God is going to order our steps in a right manner. Okay? The first point is, do good. Second point is that be right. Be right. So, the sixth verse. What does it say? The sixth verse? Yeah. So, there are so many verses. It talks about being, what happens, being as right. Okay? So, he shall bring forth the righteousness as a light. And who shall bring? God shall bring. And then, and thy judgments as a noonday. And then, here in the 18th verse. So the Lord knoweth the days of upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. And then even 21st verse. For 21st verse. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous sheweth mercy and giveth. So wicked people always takes. The righteous people, the people who does it right, always tend to give. Okay? So Jesus said that giving is more blessed than taking. Okay? That's why always better to give. So you always, you know, should have the heart of giving. Whether it might be your time, whether it might be talents, or whether it might be treasures. If other fellow brother or a sister, you know, asks a question, you know, if a particular person is working in a software industry and other person is not working, and if a person asks for help, you know, why don't we give our talent? You know, God has given us freely, right? Did we earn it? So if a person being as a doctor, so who gave the talent of understanding of those things of body and parts and everything? Only God. Even if I'm being a software engineer, you know, some people may say that, oh, doctors study well, they study like 20 hours a day. So being myself as a software engineer, even if I study 24 hours, if God has not given that thing to me, I will not be able to become a doctor. God has given us freely, my dears, all the talent that he has given to us. Why don't we share? Just wonderfully, in this particular psalm, you know, you can read it at your home. So what is going to happen to the righteous people? So even 25th verse, I've been ang, now I am war, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Did you understand this particular verse? Such a wonderful thing. You know, psalmist, you know, he's saying that I have been young, I have been old, I have passed on so many stages of my life. But he is sure that he's saying, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's why we always, you know, need to be right, upright. Need to do the right things. Sometimes Satan may guide us to go in a wrong direction. But we feel that we are doing a right thing. But during those times, we have to seek the wisdom from the Lord. That's why we always need to have a fellowship with the Lord, as we have learned the first anchor, the presence of the Lord. So in those situations, God will help you and me to overcome those situations. Okay? So, I'm not reading those all those verses you know, what is going to happen being as a right person or being as upright, but you can meditate in your own time. The third thing is that we can learn is wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Verse 7. What does it say? Verse 7. Yeah, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So the psalmist is clearly telling that, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. If a wicked is doing bad things in his life, so what is, let's read in Telugu also for a better understanding. యెహోవా ఎదుట మౌనముగా నుండి ఆయన కొరకు కనిపెట్టుకొనుము తన మార్గమున వర్ధిల్లు వారిని చూచి వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ సేస్ వ్యసన పడకము డు నాట్ ఫ్రెట్ దురాలోచనలు నెరవేర్చుకొని వారిని చూచి వ్యసన పడకము సో యు డోంట్ వరీ అబౌట్ దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ డస్ అ బ్యాడ్ ప్రాపగాండా అబౌట్ యూ గాడ్ విల్ టేక్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ యూ టూ ఇంపార్టెంట్ థింగ్స్ ఓకే సో ఇట్ సేస్ డూ గుడ్ Be right, wait upon the Lord. Okay? Do good, be right, and wait upon the Lord. Do not ever forget these three things, my dears. Okay? So you need to cast these anchors outside when you are in calamity. So that automatically, at the end of the day, God will help you for sure. I think I have told this particular story. A small girl, so who was going through tough situations in her life. And she came to her mom and said that, Mom, I'm having so many issues and I don't know what to do and how to overcome those issues and why these things are happening to me. And then she was cooking or baking a cake during that time. Then her mom asked that lady, the small girl, that you want to have snack? Then her mother said, okay, take this oil and drink it. And Eki, why are you asking me to drink the oil? Then she said, okay, in that case, take these eggs and drink it. And take this, what are the other ingredients it is. Sisters might know very well how to bake the, cakes. So at the end, girl said that, Eki, mommy, why are you asking me to do all these things? No one ever do like this. And then she said that, how about if I take oil, and if I take all-purpose flour, if I take butter, if I take baking soda, did I say right? Okay, and all those things, maybe some additional flavors that we have. If I cook that particular cake, will you eat it? Yes, mommy, I love that. Mom said that all these situations that are in your life, you cannot take it like that as is. Maybe you do not have a job right now. You're looking for a job. Or maybe you are going through a financial situations. Or maybe you are in a shipwreck kind of situations. You don't know. But at the end of the day, if you combine all these situations, if you look back and combine all these situations, God is baking you a bread and giving you a bread to eat it. That's why, always do good, be right, and wait on the Lord so that God will take care of you. All things work to the for good, who loves the Lord and called according His purposes. Okay? And now, fourth thing. So fourth thing. Turn over to Acts chapter 27. You can fill up the strong anchors of plans of God. So you can read again verse 24 of Acts chapter 27. Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Okay? What was the plan of the Lord? Again, I'm repeating. Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. That was the planning of the Lord. When God has planned something, God will protect you until you complete that particular task. There is no question about it. Even in the case of Jonah, even in the case of Paul, even in the case of anyone else in the book of Bible, David, until you finish that particular task, God is going to protect you. You know the wonderful blessing? probably because of Paul, all those 260 plus people lives got saved. Because God sent Paul for a purpose. The purpose is that in the 24th verse we saw that Paul, thou must brought before Caesar. That was the plan. My dears, in our life also, God, whenever he starts a particular task, or whenever he plans something in your life, don't worry about it. God is going to take care of you. God is going to take care of you. But you need to cling upon that plan. God, you have given me this task. Help me to finish it. Whatever the circumstance it might be in my life, you have to protect me. You have to save me. So in this particular thing, in the third point, so we can write down call to salvation. That is the first thing. Call to service. That is the second thing. God, in his eternal plan, he has called us for a salvation. It's not we that call God. God, I'm going to die. I don't know where I'm going, you know. It's not that we call God, but it is God first who called us. So Jesus Christ, wonderfully, he said, I think in John, book of John, chapter 10, I call my sheep by name. Name. God knows each and every individual's name. So many crores of people, billions of people, right, throughout these generation. How can a person remember the names? But God can remember the names. Such a powerful God that he is. So God called us unto salvation. And not only that, he called us for service also. Acts 13:2. Acts 13:2 quickly read this. Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for work whereunto I have called them. Who called? God has called. So God has called Paul and Barnabas, you know, for the work of the Lord. Whenever God calls us and we get a peace, my dears, you know, trust in the Lord, you know, cling on to his plans and purposes. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, I alone know the plans for you. Those plans are for our prosperous, not for our disaster. Right? So whenever God sets any plan, praise the Lord. So God will work in you. And finally, whenever you need, call to help. Call to help. So as God called you, and at the same time, whenever you need God, you can call God. That is important. So communication from both sides. So call might be a prayer, or, you know, cry, or whatever it may be. Cry out unto the Lord. God will definitely take care of so many verses. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. And Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I shall deliver you. Jeremiah 29:12, then you will call me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. So many verses about, calling and God answering. So you never ever forget this particular calling. And as well as you need to cast this anchor in the time of distress, in the time of storm. So the third thing we have learned is the strong anchor of plans of God. Finally, the strong anchor of power, you can call power, or you can call protection of God. Okay? So again, Acts chapter 27, verse 44. Please read this. Acts chapter 27, verse 44. and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Safe to land. Who provided the protection? God. It's not the ship that protected them. Ship also shipwrecked. It's not about the sailor who protected them. They also got fear. At one point of time, they wanted to jump into the water and save their lives. It's not about the soldiers who saved their lives. It's only God who saved their lives. So you need to cry out for protection, the stronghold of protection during the times of distress. It's an anchor. God will protect you. And Paul, being as a God servant, understood everything. He casted all these four anchors. The anchor of presence of God, the anchor of promises of God, the anchor of plans of God, the anchor of protection of God. All these four anchors, he put it. So that, you know, spiritually, he did not drift away. Okay? That is important thing. So, the last two things that, you know, for God, nothing is impossible. And the second thing you can fill it up is, nothing is too hard. Nothing is too hard. So, in Numbers, before we go to Numbers, Luke chapter 18, verse 27, I read it. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So it is very clear that for the things which are impossible to men, which are possible to God. And Jeremiah 32, verse 17 also, it is very clear that nothing is too hard for you. Remember that, my dears. Remember that. Nothing is too hard. Okay? I will give you a few examples and then we can close it down. Okay? Did you remember Eliza and a floating axe? Okay? Can any man float axe on the water? No. Who did that? God did that. Only God caused an axe to float. And even if you consider a donkey, can a donkey talk? Maybe a parrot can talk, but can a donkey talk? No. Only God has enabled to talk the donkey. Who departed the Red Sea and caused the Jordan River to stop? Only God. It's not the human effort. Is only God. So, like that, so many examples. Even we have just meditated upon this Acts chapter 27. Who saved their lives? Only God. Only God. If a God can float an axe, if a God can divide the Red Sea, if a God can stop the Jordan water to flow, and if a God can make donkey to talk, can't he do a small things in your life? Yes, definitely. But from your side and my side, we need to do something. We need to throw these anchors. Throw these anchors during those stormful situations of our lives. During the distress of our lives. And we need to feel the presence of the Lord. If you don't feel the presence of the Lord, then, you know, how can we rely upon Lord? How can we rely upon the Word? First of all, you and I need to feel the presence of the Lord. Wherever we go, God is always watching upon us. He has eyes to see, ears to hear. Ears to hear about our cry, about our prayers. Wonderful God. So we need to have fellowship with God. And we also need to have a fellowship with the holy people or the believers, like the way Paul has encouraged. So during the times of troubles, believers can encourage one another. And not only that, we need to have a fellowship when we are doing the social or Christian service, we can call that. The second anchor we talked about is the anchor of promises. And we need to claim those promises. While we claim those promises, we need to do good, we need to be right, we need to wait upon the Lord. Do not ever forget these three things. Do good and be right and wait upon the Lord. The third anchor that we have learned is a strong anchor of plans of God. We need to remember the plans and purposes of God. Those who has begun the good work will continue until the day of Christ. So Philippians, we have been meditating on Wednesday. When God starts a good work in our lives, if God has set some plans in our lives, and don't worry about all these wicked people or unrighteous people, and God will give you victory at the end of the day. But during those times, we need to have fellowship with God, and we need to cling upon the promises, and we need to cling upon those plans that God has given to us. The final thing that we have learned is a strong anchor of our protection. And we should not trust about our protection, but only we can trust God's protection or God's power during those times. The reason is very simple. Nothing is impossible to God, and nothing is too hard for God. It is very important. Let us close our eyes.